WRXR, Rossville, Chattanooga. A production of Whitfield Media Group. This is the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105. Your home for NASCAR. Now, live from the Optimize You studio, here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Man, I can't wait. It's a fight I guess I'll never know. For a moment, I can't wait. I'm holding on to hope. I know you're stoned, I can see it. The struggle's getting old.
Welcome into the program, everybody, on an absolutely beautiful Monday. Get ready for another edition of Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You here on Rock 105. And if you got the chance, open the windows in the car, in the house, wherever. Man, what a beautiful day. A great day to sit here and recap a great race, or just perhaps a crazy finish. That's right. We're going to talk Talladega. Huge win for Tyler Reddick. Huge win for his team owner, who happened to be on his car. More talk about Michael Jordan than the race winner. At least that's the way it seems to be in some media circles. But fun time nonetheless. So how did Tyler Reddick get the win? We'll talk a little bit about that. Who else did okay? Who else doesn't like the racing in this car in restrictor plate races? Kyle Busch, we'll hear what he has to say. Of course, that's always fun. Plus, we're going to do standings, news in the world of NASCAR. You know what? What we always do, try our best to entertain and get you up to speed on all things in and around the garage area for NASCAR. So sit back, relax. That'll be a good one. It's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105. I am Casey. Alongside me, ladies and gentlemen, the reason we show up here, he is our Michael Jordan. He is Sean Whitfield of the Whitfield Media Group.
Hey, good evening. Happy to be here.
You know what? You're kind of the team owner, and you know, your logo would be on the hood of our car. And I'll be Tyler Reddick. I'll go ahead and get the race win. That's kind of a little bit like what yesterday was like, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I wouldn't mind being Michael Jordan. And being that wealthy.
I was going to say, I'd trade pocketbooks with him.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, just being the undisputed best at one of the, you know, most popular sports in America. I think that's...
And I've heard this debated before in sports media. Isn't Michael Jordan considered one of the most well-known athletes, sports celebrities, would you say, in the top... five or the top three in the world?
Yeah, he may be the most famous American athlete of all time, if not that, at least in the top three, because he was so good. He won so many championships. He also came along right about the time that sports marketing and Nike really took off, and he held that flagship, and I mean, had his own theme song. I want to be like Mike. I mean, Gatorade, my God, who didn't drink a Gatorade to be like Mike? And so it's kind of a conglomeration of all these things. And he was so insanely popular and backed it up by being so insanely good. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all seen where one, you know, Jimmy Johnson was insanely good, not all that popular. Dale Earnhardt Jr., insanely popular, maybe not as good as his popularity brought him to. But Jordan was kind of the alpha dog in all those categories and kind of continues to be. There's a fun debate, I guess, if you like basketball. You know, there's LeBron, there's Kobe, there's, you know, you can go back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, you know, all that stuff. But when the rubber meets the road and you really start looking at accomplishments, like Michael Jordan went to six NBA finals and he won six of them. You know, it's just he was the scoring title and all NBA defense nine times. The most anybody else has done that is two. He literally was so far and above everybody. And for my generation, you know, I'm 44. He was the end all be all. Like if you played pickup game, I'm Michael Jordan. That's who everybody wanted to be. That's why LeBron James wears 23, for God's sake. So, yeah. But you know, Sean, here's this uber successful guy that everyone knows, and he buys an NBA team and had no success. I mean, literally, the Charlotte Bobcats were pretty god-awful the entire time he was there. Then he gets into NASCAR. I would say results have been mixed, but a lot of times it is when you have a startup team. But for him to be at Talladega, as you've seen the videos, he was there on pit row with his logo, the Jumpman logo, on the car, and for Tyler Reddick to win that race, that was a pretty cool moment for NASCAR.
As young as that organization is, I would consider that so far they've been successful. I mean, you think about coming into the sport that's as competitive as NASCAR and to have achieved what they've achieved in their short period of time. Granted, they haven't won a lot of races.
Exactly. They haven't really achieved.
But for a startup organization, I think they've done rather well. And they're building a race shop and facility that I continue to hear that is just unbelievable. Supposed to be the Taj Mahal of all race shops in NASCAR. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that turns out to be. I think, too, Michael Jordan's popularity might have picked up when they did the documentary.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Michael Jordan?
COVID seemed to also be right at the time that they released this documentary for Jordan. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, my generation knew. But all these new guys that think LeBron was this and, oh, what about this guy? And they're all fantastic, don't get me wrong. But it was almost like, here comes this documentary just to remind everybody I'm still the GOAT, you know, the greatest of all time.
And then the lifetime contract that he's got with Nike.
The money he makes to this day on that Nike contract.
Yeah, millions and millions
insane.
Of dollars a year. And then you look at the University of Florida, you look at the University of Michigan, others. The football teams have
a basketball player's logo on.
Yeah, have the Nike Jumpman.
They made
on the football uniform.
They literally made a movie about his agent. Like, that's how much money and how successful his sports marketing's been. They made a movie about his agent brokering this deal. I mean, and I had Matt Damon in it, for God's sake. Like, how many famous people's agent get a movie?
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy. But I will say, and I just have to throw, you know, to me, you want to be successful, you be, you know, Ross Chastain and that organization that started out of nowhere and consistently win races and compete for championships. I think 23XI has been successful, but they've been good, not great for a startup.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't consider them great, but I think they've done rather well considering they're older than they are. Michael Jordan yesterday was the first time he had been at the racetrack.
Yeah. How cool.
The team had won. And did you hear his comments after the race?
I saw the video, and he's got, was it Reddick's boy with him? And they're all excited. I mean, that was just really, really cool.
I mean, his interview with Jamie Little from NASCAR on Fox proved that he was all in. I mean, he is all in, full speed ahead, and he's here for the long term in NASCAR.
Yeah, I don't think he does things halfway.
No. And I think that is nothing but a huge benefit to the sport of NASCAR.
It is, absolutely.
Because he has been able to put eyeballs on NASCAR that no one else has been able to do.
I mean, listen, so, you know, Tyler Reddick gets the race win. Yay for Tyler Reddick's first win of the year. We'll talk more about that. Obviously, a big win for the organization. Mm-hmm. We have an insane last three laps. You got wrecks everywhere and, you know, typical Talladega people tune in for kind of stuff. Yet, in the national media, Sean, I listened to a couple different shows, and it was, hey, Michael Jordan's team won a race. That's it. It is. He is that big of a shadow. And so, yeah, maybe a bummer that you're in the shadow, but what is it? A rising tide raises all ships or whatever. That's literally where they're at. There are so many people that just went, wait, Michael Jordan has a NASCAR team? And they tune in and they get online and they look and they go, oh, that car is awesome. It's got the Jumpman logo. I bet he's got some gear, man. Like, give me a Jordan NASCAR shirt. But these kind of things have a way of snowballing. Thought it was pretty cool.
Two things I wanted to share. Number one, I got one of my buddies, Matt Davis. It's a co-host with me on the Chattanooga
and
Fitness
some,
Download.
And some craziness as well.
Well, that's Darren.
Oh, it's Darren.
But Matt has got over 130 pair of Jordans.
Isn't that, like, I shouldn't, that dude could smash my head with his hand, but isn't that weird for an adult male to do?
He was a basketball, he was a basketball player in college, basketball in high school, so all basketball right. has been a main part of his
then I'm all right with it.
Life ever since he was a kid. And of course, he's my height, he's about 6'4". And he's such a fan of Jordan. Matter of fact, he didn't even really pay attention to NASCAR until Michael Jordan came into the sport. Now he keeps up and pays attention to NASCAR. And then you think about the car that was in there yesterday, the amount of diecast that fans will try to get will try to buy because of the fact it was the Jumpman on the car yesterday. Matter of fact, I've got a small diecast collection you've seen in the conference room here, and I specifically bought a year or two ago when Kurt Busch drove the Air Jordan Jumpman car. I bought a diecast because of that, because I wanted to have the memory of that, and I believe it was the first time they ever did a paint scheme of Michael Jordan.
Man, so, you know, I'm looking at 23xifanshop.com, and, you know, Sean, one of my problems with NASCAR shirts is they look like NASCAR shirts, just very busy with all sorts of, but there's one that's just got basically the super cool 23xi logo. There's a car that looks like the Air Jordans too. I had a pair of those. I had this, those are the second or third ones, but I had that. There's a lot, like, their stuff looks better. So, yeah, I guarantee you there are a lot of guys. There's a Dr. Pepper hat that's got the core. That's cool. Like, they get it, right? And you're right. I think a lot of people probably went, hey, let me get that.
Have you ever heard the story of how Denny Hamlin got together with Michael Jordan and they became partners?
They're both golfers, I believe.
They are. And they were acquaintances. And I think Michael had been to the track and had been around Denny a couple of times. But they certainly didn't know each other well. And I don't remember exactly all the details of the story, but if the best I recall, Denny had invited Michael to play golf. And that was when he made the proposal or threw out the idea of, hey, why don't we go in partners together and on a NASCAR team.
Hey, you're a billionaire. Why don't you share some of that money?
So
that's
how the conversation began. And if I'm not mistaken, Michael Jordan owns a golf course and country club in Florida.
Probably. That sounds like a very Jordan thing.
And it is a very...
he's probably just a member.
What would you call it?
Exclusive?
Yeah, very exclusive, highfalutin, whatever some of those Southern words we could describe it with. Of this golf club. And I think that's where the deal pretty much got finalized, is they made a golf trip there as well. And amongst their initial conversation. But it's fascinating to have Michael Jordan, a team owner in NASCAR, and to be as involved as he is a great thing for our sport.
Yeah, very, very cool. And you can say it overshadows the race, but who cares? It's one of the sport's biggest stars owns a NASCAR team and then has some success at what I would consider an iconic track, and the cameras are there to catch it. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's like I was thinking about this today. So I'm Michael Jordan. Like, nothing to prove to anyone. Like, you've got all the money you could ever spend. Whatever, right? But he's ultra competitive, and he got to be thinking, like, I own a race team, my car's out there with my logo on it, and I just want to race at Talladega, and I'm here in attendance. Like, there's some sort of, it's almost like bizarro world, but just uber success for Michael Jordan, and a big win for Tyler Reddick as well. I mean, that's a race team that you know, has had some mixed results this year. Bubba's big news for Bubba Wallace, we'll get to later, but you know, Bubba's had some okay races. Tyler's been up there competing, but I think probably a little pressure on those guys because the other team owners over there winning everything. So big win for them, and that makes sure a 23XI car is going to be in the playoffs now.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin, and we'll get into more detail about this coming up momentarily, but Denny Hamlin ended up in a wreck with about 39 laps to go and put him out of the race. He was already at the tunnel headed to the airport when he's watching on the TV screen.
Turn around.
Tyler Reddick get the win. And, of course, that changed his plans immediately. He thought he was going to get out of Talladega before everybody else did. But he had to put the brakes on, so to speak, and go back to victory lane. So it was pretty cool to see that win yesterday. To me, it was a bigger deal seeing Michael Jordan get the win and him being there than anything to do with Tyler Reddick. It was obviously a big deal to Tyler Reddick and his family, but to see Michael Jordan's reaction, to see his bonding and carrying Tyler Reddick's son there on pit road and into victory lane, it was just so cool.
Yeah, that is the moment I'll take away from this. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, Sean, I mean, team owners aren't something we often get excited about in any sport. Like, oh, it's the team. Yeah. But when the team owner is one of the most popular athletes of all time and he's there and a guy that has nothing to prove and has already won everything, this is something he'd actually never done. And you can see the jubilation on his face. Super cool moment for NASCAR. And, yeah, big win for Tyler.
All right, we've got a lot to talk about today as we recap NASCAR racing at Talladega. Of course, we are presented to you by Optimize U. You can find them online at Optimize U Chattanooga. That's Optimize U Chattanooga. When we come back, we'll break down the results and talk about how everything shook out and how Tyler Reddick stole the win. And literally stole the win in the final second or two of the race. We'll get into that and more as we continue. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
I can see through my reflection what I've become and what I've been. You see, your heaven doesn't want me.
We'll be back faster than the last lap at Talladega. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Optimize U Chattanooga is a hormone optimization and recovery center that specializes in hormone replacement therapy for both males and females. If you are suffering from mood swings, fatigue, low libido, or weight gain, then your hormone levels might be low. We offer in-house lab panels as well as testosterone, progesterone, estradiol, and peptide therapies. We are currently accepting new patients. Know your levels because normal is not optimal. For more information, check us out at OptimizeUChattanooga.com.
Hi, I'm Sean Whitfield.
And I'm Mandy Livingston.
Join us every Saturday morning at 8 for your home radio on 98.1 The Lake.
Featuring a variety of topics all related to your home.
A production of the Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize U on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Ugh, I'm stressed beyond belief.
What's wrong, honey?
Just life, bills, gas prices, everything. Looks like we aren't going to get that vacation again this year.
Why not? We can just take your gold and sell it to Rick Davis.
Hey, that's a pretty good idea.
Yep, Rick Davis Gold and Diamonds pays top prices for gold.
Yay, we can finally take that trip to Jamaica like we always wanted to.
Rick Davis Gold and Diamonds, helping you get away for a little while. Rick Davis Gold and Diamonds, 5301 Brainerd Road.
Every child deserves a chance for a healthy, happy life. But when pediatric cancer strikes, it leaves a lasting impact on not only the diagnosed child, but their parents and siblings too. The Austin Hatcher Foundation for Pediatric Cancer is here to erase the effects of childhood cancer and empower families to thrive during and after a cancer journey. Through a variety of support programs such as grief groups, counseling services, art and music therapy, and more, we provide comprehensive, no-cost services and care to children and their families. Join us in making a difference. Visit HatcherFoundation.org to learn more and get involved.
More NASCAR ahead with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Now, back to the show. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr each and every Monday at 6 o'clock, which is right now, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and info you need to know. Today, talking about Tyler Reddick's big victory, or I might as well just say team owner Michael Jordan's big victory at Talladega. Crazy finish that some drivers, as always, are happy about. Others, you know what, Talladega, take it or leave it. We'll hear from that a little bit later on. And, of course, later on in the program, a little look ahead to where we head next. And, Sean, where we head next is Dover, the Monster Mile, heading to the concrete track. It'll be the first time we've been here on the new car, with the new car and the new setup. So will that be a little different? I guess, did we learn any lessons from Bristol, your other concrete track? I guess we'll find out. But we'll talk about the Worth 400 from Dover later on in the program.
Well, yesterday was no different than the typical Talladega. Maybe not quite as much wrecked sheet metal. That's probably one thing that was different. We didn't see as much of that, I think, as we have in some of the races in the past. But what we did see was a fair amount of strategy going on throughout the race, especially there at the end. I think there was about 39 laps to go when the Toyota drivers decided to all pit at one time, because it was pretty evident that nobody was going to make it to the end without a fuel stop. So the Toyota drivers all made a fuel stop.
It's almost like the first ones to pit win.
Yeah, and got fuel, all get back on the track. They pretty much were all together except one, and I don't recall the driver that was probably a quarter of a mile behind the pack. They get their pack started, went maybe two or three laps, go into, I think it was turn two, or maybe turn one, I don't recall. And that's when the melee happened. And
trying to be smart.
Bubba Wallace ends up in the wall. Denny Hamlin ends up in the wall. And so the Toyota strategy sort of backfired. Of course, Tyler Reddick was obviously able to get through it all. Martin Truex Jr. was able to get through it. But what was set out to look like a clever strategy move for Toyota turned out not to go the way as planned. And it was pretty disappointing, because I thought, hey, now, this is pretty cool stuff here. We're about to see manufacturers going up against one another even more so than we already normally do. So it added a little bit more excitement to the latter part of the race, because for the most part, there was a whole lot of green flag racing. However, we did have a large number of lead changes. We had 72 lead changes among 23 drivers.
Yeah, and that's some, like I said, that's why people love Talladega. You can be first one lap and go back to 12th pretty quick and not have done anything wrong. That's just kind of the way restrictor plate driving works, and that's what people like. Everyone's got a kind of a chance. And you're right, we didn't see a lot of needless wrecks. Of course, you know, the one from Toyota and of course the one late, but we did see a lot of strategy. We don't, you know, NASCAR is not a team sport, but when we get to these restrictor plate races, you start seeing teams, and maybe it's manufacturer and team owner. Perhaps, I'm trying to think, a couple years ago, Denny Hamlin and somebody just absolutely, their cars like fit together like a glove. So that was back when you could lock on behind somebody and just two of you take off like a missile. And Denny Hamlin, and I want to say it's Ryan Newman or somebody random like that, yeah, that just took off and left everybody. So you always end up with these weird partnerships, but it also all seems to fly out the window with about three to go. And I think that's what makes, you know, restrictor plate racing so exciting. And NASCAR would never go for it. TV would never go for it. The drivers probably would, but there's really no reason to make Talladega 188 laps long. Mm-hmm. Make it 100, because all we care about is the last 30, and that's what we're all going to tune in for. So,
and it's like a chess match.
It's a chess match at 200 miles an
to
hour.
To see what strategy is going to be used. And I mean, just because a car comes around you on the front stretch in one place the entire lineup could be all mixed up by the time it comes back around.
And I always felt worse probably for the spotters. I mean, the drivers, you know, you've kind of got to pay attention to driving. And
yeah.
And all your spotters are doing is going, you know, 22 on your left. All right, he's behind you. 15 coming up to the side. Stick. I mean, like, constant talking.
Yeah.
And these drivers got to sit here and figure all this out at 200 miles an hour.
And then as a spotter, you're trying to watch your driver on a 2.5 mile racetrack. And trying to keep up with them, you know, at far distances. So, yeah, there's no question about it. The spotters, they earn their pay when they go to Talladega. Yesterday, Casey, was a very important day for Ford. We've had 10 races so far in 2024. Ford is yet to get a win. It's been dominant by Chevrolet, then Toyota. And a lot of people were saying that if Ford is going to keep a good positive image, they needed to get a win yesterday, and they didn't do that. So I would say that they were probably the biggest loser of the day. However, Brad Keselowski did come in second. He was close, and there was an opportunity there for Brad to get the win, but we look at the record books a year from now, we won't even remember that Brad was in second place.
No.
It was Tyler Reddick that won the race.
Good points day for Brad, though, and also for Noah Gragson and some other. It's a typical restrictor plate race. You've got a lot of the usual suspects up front and then some guys that had a great run that really needed it, and we don't see up front all that much, including Sean's favorite driver, Anthony Alfredo. Big, big day for him. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, yeah, I thought it was a great race. It was typical. That's what I expect out of these. Heck of a finish. Yes, there was a big wreck. Yes, Kyle Busch is mad. But you know what? If you're cheering for stories, and man, there was a good one yesterday.
Yeah, for sure there was. Of course, let's get to the results of the race at Talladega. That was the Geico 500 Talladega Motor Speedway on the 2.66 mile racetrack, 188 laps. Tyler Reddick got the win. He scored his first win of the season and his sixth career Sunday at Talladega. The win is his fifth consecutive top 10 finish and seventh in the last eight races. Brad Keselowski had a great day, recorded his second consecutive runner-up finish and climbed into a playoff spot. Of course, we're still early for paying a lot of attention to the playoffs, but
points are points.
It is a fact he is in that position. Noah Gragson came in third. Noah finished a career best third, scoring his first top 10 in the last seven races. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in fourth, Alex Bowman in fifth. Anthony Alfredo, Casey, you mentioned just a moment ago, he came in sixth place. He finished...
led some laps.
Yeah, he finished third in Saturday's Xfinity Series race to tie his career best finish, and then followed that by his best finish of sixth place in Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series race. Seventh, William Byron. Eighth, Todd Gilliland. Ninth is Daniel Hemric. And 10th is Harrison Burton.
Some other usual suspects. Martin Truex Jr. 11th. Chase Briscoe 12th. Ross Chastain 13th. Chase Elliott 15th. Joey Logano, another bad run for him, 19th. Ryan Blaney 20th. Kyle Larson 21st. Ty Gibbs 22nd. Chris Buescher 25th. Kyle Busch did not like this race. Finished in 27th. Austin Dillon 30th. And then you start getting into the guys that had an accident and didn't do so good. Oh, gosh. They're just about all Toyotas. Eric Jones, Bubba Wallace, Denny Hamlin, and Christopher Bell all finished the last four. Kyle Busch, Sean, and you'll appreciate this post. He basically said on X, formerly known as Twitter, he's not a big fan of these cars. And he just said, ride in line equals finish where you are. Try to race for the win equals finish last. I hate these emoji with swear words cars. So not a ringing endorsement from our old buddy Kyle Busch for this setup at a restrictor plate race.
Who would you say is the heartbreak of the day?
The heartbreak?
Heartbreak of the day.
Bubba Wallace, because he just got to see his teammate win a race and make Michael Jordan's day.
I'm going to go.
That's got to sting, man. And all you did was wreck during a strategy move.
I mean, you could definitely give a vote there for Bubba Wallace, but it's got to be Michael McDowell. Michael had that race won.
Yeah.
I mean, he can see the start-finish line. He's trying to move in on the block of Keselowski and ends up in a wreck. He's, I mean, I don't know. He's 100 yards from the finish line and ends up in an accident, and Tyler Reddick comes around and gets a win, because up until then, Tyler was in third. But I just felt so bad for Michael McDowell. He had that race won. Michael McDowell led 36 laps throughout the day, and he went from winning the race. He was also on the pole. You got to mention that. And he went from winning the race to finishing 31st.
Yes, and that was, I mean, these races are made for race teams like that, to give them a chance to win. And you know how big that would have been, because he would have essentially been into the playoffs. We got to say this. So, yes, a bit of a heartbreak weekend for Bubba Wallace. However, Sean announced that he and his wife, Amanda, are expecting their first child. So there you have it. Not all bad things for Bubba.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't even know he was married.
Well, you know what?
Or is he married?
You don't read the tea leaves like I do.
Is that
okay?
What it is?
Yeah.
Would you read that in the National Enquirer?
This is some deep search reporting.
Gotcha. Your investigative reporting for sure. As I mentioned a moment ago, we had 72 lead changes among 23 drivers. And if I'm not mistaken, yesterday was the third time in NASCAR history that in the first 10 races, we exceeded the most lead changes. So just goes to show that what we have in NASCAR today is possibly where we need to be.
Yeah, so maybe we stop complaining about it. Kyle, stop it, Kyle.
And we stop complaining about the car that we have and realize that there is more good than there is bad.
Just get up there.
From the,
you know,
next gen.
Go win it, and you won't complain.
There were four caution flags for 21 laps. How would you give me a letter grade on yesterday's Talladega?
So my baseline for restricted plate races is always an A, because I like them. So I'm going to give this one an A.
Well, I'm going to compare mine to past Talladegas. I'm going to give it an A-. It was a good Talladega race, but it wasn't the best Talladega race.
You're always so negative.
Yeah, it produced good racing yesterday, and I was glad that we were able to get it in and not race on Monday.
Amen to that.
Because it was looking like we may be doing that due to weather a few days earlier. All right, it is time for us to take a break. We come back, we'll get into the driver standings and news in the world of NASCAR. We'll talk a little bit about the update of the NASCAR charters and where does that stand between the NASCAR owners, team owners, and NASCAR. So we'll get into that and more as we continue. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back quicker than Sean can drink another Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Hi, I'm Mandy Livingston from Your Home Radio on 98.1 The Lake. Attention all ladies, listen up. Are you feeling tired, loss of energy, weight gain, or low sex drive? Then your hormone levels might be low. I've got the solution for you. Optimize You Chattanooga is a hormone optimization center that specializes in hormone replacement therapy. They changed my life and they can change yours. Find them online at OptimizeYouChattanooga.com.
Rick Davis Golden Diamonds is your number one stop for buying and selling fine jewelry, antiques, watches, and coins. Are you ready to take the next step with your significant other? Love is in the air, and Rick Davis has you covered for all your wedding and engagement rings. Their annual bridal sale is going on now. They're buying and selling every day at Rick Davis Golden Diamonds, 5301 Brainerd Road in Chattanooga, or online now at rickdavisgoldendiamonds.net. Rick Davis Gold and Diamonds.
NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Join Ed Jones and Clint Powell each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Vital Health Radio, presented by Vascular Institute and Vein Clinic on 98.1 The Lake. It's a radio show about living a healthy life, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Love some fresh Mexican food? You like to eat healthy? I've got the place for you. Check out Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill. They offer tacos, healthy bowls, burritos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. They're located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Chattanooga, right behind the Embassy Suites at Hamilton Place. If you're a student and need a job while in school, Dos Bros is now hiring and offering a sign-on bonus. See store for details.
This is the fastest hour in radio with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr, that's me. We're here each and every Monday at 6, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and information you need to know. Today, recapping Talladega, big win for Tyler Reddick, but everyone's talking about his team owner. That's right, the Michael Jordan gets his first win in attendance, not first win for 23XI. But first win in attendance for Michael Jordan as he watched the 45 team steal a victory for Michael McDowell late in the race as a big wreck happens, as it always does, at Talladega. So big win for the 45, their first of the season. And now the attention turns towards the next race, the Worth 400 from Dover. So we're heading to from restrictor plate racing on one of the biggest tracks in all of NASCAR to the Monster Mile on concrete, Dover. And that's coming up this Sunday at 3 o'clock, so be sure and tune in, and no matter what happens, of course, Sean and I are always going to be here to bring you the news and info you need to know.
Before we dive back into NASCAR, I want to talk for just a moment about one of our great sponsors, and they've been a partner of our radio program here for 12 years, and that is none other than our friends over at Texas Roadhouse. They just opened up a new location at 2020 Hamilton Place Boulevard. For those that know the mall area well, it's where Big River Grill used to be. And they demolitioned the old Big River Grill and built a brand new Texas Roadhouse. So they're no longer located there off Shalaford Road in I-75 near the CarMax. They are located right there by Hamilton Place Mall. They got a lot more parking, beautiful location, a lot bigger restaurant. I was talking to Avery the other day. He is the managing partner, Avery Hawk, and he was telling me that there has been so much technology that has came into the restaurant business, especially in the kitchen, since the old Texas Roadhouse was built. And so they were excited about all the new technology that they were going to have there at Texas Roadhouse, and it was enabling them to better serve their customers and get food out of the kitchen, get orders into the kitchen quicker, and get food to the customers out of the kitchen quicker. So
I don't want no AI on my steak, Sean. None of that artificial intelligence. Keep it away.
There may be a little bit of that over there. I don't know. But they have great food. If you're looking for a great steak, the filet and ribs is one of my favorite combos. But everything is made fresh daily. That's one thing that I think some people out there don't realize, Casey, is every single thing on their menu, they make fresh daily. They even make all of their salad dressings with the exception of their fat-free ranch. They make their croutons. And then, of course, don't forget their delicious baked bread. And if you're into margaritas, they have those. And their bar area is a little bit larger over at the Hamilton Place location. So go check them out. Our friends at Texas Roadhouse, located there at 2020 Hamilton Place Boulevard. Go visit them today. Check out the new location. And two, I highly recommend to go ahead and download that Texas Roadhouse app onto your smartphone, because majority of the time, I would say 95% of the time, they're always on a wait, and you want to go on that app and do the app ahead seating. And you just go on there, tell them how many people, put your name, phone number, and email, and it will tell you exactly how long it's going to take before you're seated. So don't forget that. That's almost a must to download that Texas Roadhouse app.
You know, we were having this discussion at work the other day about the, you know, kind of like the best place to go get a steak. And you've got the, like, really fancy places and all that. But I brought up Texas Roadhouse, and I said it's basically the only place I think that still will cut it in-house. Everything's
made
fresh daily and all. And for the money, you cannot beat a Texas Roadhouse steak. And you and I, we've had many, and they're all delicious. And I don't think it's going to happen now, but I think it used to get forgotten about it because it's on the other side of the interstate, and the mall's on the... Well, now they're on the mall side of the interstate right there.
Yeah.
It was already busy. It's going to be crazy busy over there. But we should go by. Should go by and sit in the seat where the picture of our buddy Dan is having a beer.
Yeah, Dan Warner's picture's on the wall over there.
Painted.
He's managing partner.
He's now a mural.
The Tennessee DOT is building an exit there at Hamilton Place. So pretty soon, it's going to be a little bit easier on and off I-75 when that new exit gets completed.
Man, it is insane. All the dirt work that goes into that. Like, I feel like no matter how old you get, inside all of us, there's a, you know, an 8-year-old boy that just wants to, like, play with dump trucks and dirt movers. And to see they had two of those big diggers making all these trenches and pushing down trees, you're just going, my gosh, so much goes into road work like that. But you remember the place I used to live over there?
Yeah, you were right there near the interstate.
So if I would have stayed in that house, I'd have had a beautiful view of people getting onto the new on-ramp. Isn't that something?
Yeah. That was a cool house where you were over there.
Yeah. Oh, no, I loved that place.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Very convenient.
Convenient to Texas Roadhouse.
All right. Let's get into the point standings after the race at Talladega of the NASCAR Cup Series. Kyle Larson is still your points leader. Kyle Larson had to start at the back of the field yesterday after being penalized going through inspection. Kyle Larson is 15 points ahead of second place Martin Truex Jr. Chase Elliott's in third, fourth William Byron, and fifth Tyler Reddick.
In the sixth spot, Denny Hamlin, seventh Ryan Blaney, eighth Ty Gibbs, ninth Ross Chastain, and tenth Alex Bowman, even though Alex has four top fives, still waiting to get his first win of the season. Bubba Wallace, 11th. Chase Briscoe, 12th. Christopher Bell, 13th. Brad Keselowski moving into the 14th spot with his second place finish. Joey Logano, 15th. And Chris Buescher rounding out the top 16. Sean Whitfield, now outside the top 16. Kyle Busch in 17th place. No wonder where that angry tweet came from. Followed by Daniel Suarez, Cindric, Eric Jones rounds out the top 20. There you have it, the driver's standings of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
Of course, William Byron has 3 wins so far. Denny Hamlin has 2 wins. There's a lot of drivers that are still looking for that first win of the season.
Daniel Suarez has a win, though, Sean. So even though he's in 18th spot, he would knock out 16th spot Chris Buescher.
Yeah. So we still got a lot of racing to go. There's no question about that. And where did you say we were headed next week?
Dover. Going against Miles the Monster.
The Monster Mile. All right, let's get into some news in the world of NASCAR. It was just announced that Kroger is moving its sponsorship to Joe Gibbs Racing next year. Kroger could be on the move in NASCAR after this year as part of a shakeup with JTG Daughtry Racing. And, of course, Kroger is known to be America's largest supermarket chain, switching to a new team next year. While terms of the Kroger deal with JTG are unclear, a half a dozen execs have also identified Kroger as a sponsor that could be on the move next year as a part of the major shakeup with JTG. This could be a life or death situation for JTG Daughtry, because Kroger has been their lifeblood of financing.
Yeah.
Or running that organization. They're a one car team as it is. And that they may find that's very difficult to replace.
I think it's going to be almost impossible to replace. And as a sponsor, I mean, how can you look at a team like Joe Gibbs and not think you're getting a better chance to get in victory lane, or you're getting more exposure than on a single car? Single car teams are so tough now, Sean. And I know you can have alignments and you can have alliances and all this kind of stuff, but so much more resources at the big shops. That's pretty scary for JTG.
I have no interest of being a team owner in NASCAR. You ever think about it, you know, if you were to get into different businesses and you could just grant your wish what you would be? I would not do well being a team owner, because I would stay so stressed and have so much anxiety on me all the time for fear of what happens when a sponsor doesn't renew, especially when it's a major sponsor. And I'm an organization that's got 400 or 500 people on staff, and I've got all those employees, and I think about all their families that are depending on me for their livelihood. And unless you are a owner that's already got money and self-made from other types of businesses, like a Roger Penske or Gene Haas or Rick Hendricks, to me, that is a tremendous amount of pressure, because it's just like JTG Daughtry Racing. This could put them out of business to where they end up having to sell their charter next year. I mean, wouldn't you agree that there's so much pressure in being a team owner?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's and Sean, face it, even if you're self-made, money goes fast in NASCAR. Without good sponsorship, it's really tough to make. And it seems like over the last few years, it's just gotten tougher and tougher to land the kind of deals that allow you to concentrate on racing and not concentrate on just trying to get a sponsor for your next ride.
And always scared about,
yeah, I don't,
if you can keep them happy.
I don't envy them at all. You know, I always think, like, can you imagine going into a meeting, you know, to work with Kroger, and they go, hey, let's talk, and you know, this is our last year, and now you're like, oh my gosh, now you've got to figure out how to replace that would be tough. I don't envy them at all. I mean, it's the way it is. NASCAR lives and dies by the sponsorship. It's one of the few major sports out there that is that reliant on their corporate partnership. But I guess you could say that's what in some ways makes it good and why the teams can be so autonomous. But every time there's a winner, there's got to be a loser.
And it has been proven and said so many times by the team owners that we cannot possibly survive on what we earn as a purse in race winnings. I mean, no. It's a given. They cannot survive without the lifeblood of sponsorships. And NASCAR is one of the very few sports that is that way, to where it is totally reliant on the support of its sponsors. And that's a place that they eventually want to either get out of. They don't want to be in that situation where they have to depend on that, or at least relieve some pressure to where the pressure on these teams is not as, the level of stress is not as high because of what is required to keep the sponsor on hand.
You know, I think about years ago, the Los Angeles Clippers, you know, people forgot there were two teams, basketball teams in L.A. because the Lakers were so popular. But the Clippers were owned by Donald Sterling, who spent next to nothing to buy them, spent next to nothing on promoting the team. They shared a stadium basically a basketball court with the Lakers. They basically were tenants of the Lakers. He spent the league minimum every year. And the team was never good. For 25, 30 years, they were god-awful. Every now and again, they'd have a team that barely made the playoffs. And he was eventually forced to sell the team because of some dumb comments he made. But that team, he sold for, I think, over $1 billion. So that he had something of value that, even though he wasn't doing anything with it, kept growing and building. And so you see where these NASCAR team owners are with charters. Like, I've got to have something that grows in value. I've got to have something of value, or I can spend all this time and money and I lose a sponsor and I've got nothing.
All I've got is the value of my building, my property, and my equipment.
And a bunch of race cars that are that NASCAR is going to make obsolete next year.
There's so much reality in that, and the way these team owners have gotten screwed in the past when NASCAR makes changes to the car and they've got all this inventory of parts and cars, and a lot of times they can't do much with it. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue news in the world of NASCAR. We're going to talk about what the latest is with the NASCAR charter deals. NASCAR says they're close to a deal, but many of the team owners say, no, we're way far apart. We'll get into that and more as we continue. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. You can find us online at racingtalkradio.com. You can find past shows there. Also, we are presented to you by OptimizeU. Check them out online at OptimizeUChattanooga.com. More to come after these brief messages. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Are you into fitness, bodybuilding, or just want to live a healthy life?
Are you looking for a new show that's very entertaining and different?
Well, I've got the show for you. It's Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by OptimizeU. It's a podcast that achieves all of its goals.
Join professional bodybuilder Matt Davis, me, Darren Johnson, and Sean Whitfield.
You can find Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by OptimizeU, at all major podcast platforms. Also, check out our website, ChattanoogaFitnessDownload.com.
Are you looking to take control of your health and live your best life? Then this is the podcast for you. Join Josh Porter and Mandy Livingston as they share cutting-edge research, practical tips, and inspiring stories to help you optimize your physical, mental, and emotional health. From nutrition and exercise to hormone optimization, we cover it all. So tune in to Optimize Health and start empowering your health one episode at a time. You can find Optimize Health at your favorite podcast platforms or online at OptimizeHealthNow.com.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
NASCAR fans, listen up. NASCAR is a sport where testosterone is a must. OptimizeU has got you covered. Join Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by OptimizeU on Rock 105.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on 98.1 The Lake, each Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com.
A production of Whitfield Media Group.
Buckle up and hang on with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
This world will never be. Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio, presented by OptimizeU here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr. We have spent this hour talking news in the world of NASCAR, going over standings, results, all the fun stuff, and now we look ahead to Dover Motor Speedway for the Worth 400 from Dover, Delaware. Delaware? How about Delaware? And that's coming up this Sunday, April 28th at 2 p.m. So,
We're going from restrictor plate racing to, you know what, one of the tougher tracks in NASCAR. It's 1 mile, it's steep, and it's a concrete track. Let's see what the new setup has to say about that. How upset will Kyle Busch be at this new setup? Well, we'll find out next Monday as we return to talk more NASCAR.
All right, let's continue our conversation with news in the world of NASCAR. NASCAR came out and spoke at an event Steve O'Donnell did last Wednesday. I think he was out in L.A. And in his words said, we are very close to a charter agreement deal. Very close was his words. Team owners close to the situation say that no, that is not true, that NASCAR is exaggerating in a huge, huge way. Denny Hamlin has been pretty vocal and candid about this topic with the media over the past couple of months. Hamlin was speaking to the media on Saturday at Talladega, and I quote, this is what Denny said, the four key elements that I haven't seen NASCAR bring up and what our ass has been, they have not addressed those or have conceded to those. I think that it's positive messaging more than it is actually real. Brad Keselowski says, and of course, he's co-owner of RFK Racing. He quotes, says he hasn't heard anything to make him believe that the deal is close at all. Other team owners are being pretty quiet about it. I would tend to agree and believe what the team owners have to say, that NASCAR is having wishful thinking and in hopes that the team owners are going to agree to whatever they propose. But I really believe that this is going to drag out for several more months, and it could even drag out to the end of the year. And it'll be a little bit interesting to see just how far the team owners are willing to try to hold NASCAR to coming to their terms and seeing things from their perspective.
You know, I realize it's a big deal for NASCAR and these charters. You know, it helps build value for owners, and that can help alleviate some of the worry with sponsors, all that stuff.
It's the future of their financials.
But I just, man, I think the average fan, God, we just don't care. It's like, it's almost like call me when it's worked out, because, you know, it's millionaires versus billionaires, which most of us are neither. So we just like, hey, y'all sort it out. But it is kind of a major thing. And it doesn't seem like they're getting any closer. But then again, Sean, you've been part of these negotiations. That there's always, oh, we're so far apart, we hate each other, there's nothing's going anywhere. And then I'm going to come up on Monday, oh, look, the Senate has reached a deal to do this. Or, oh, look, we finally figured this out. So it will get worked out. And it is interesting to see, you know, the team owners kind of get together and they want a piece of the pie too. And of course, NASCAR being the organization they are, they really don't have to share, but if in the interest of their future, they better. So it will be interesting to see. It's just, man,
there's
so tired.
There's a lot
charters.
Of TV money on the line. This last TV deal that NASCAR has got coming for 2025 is big money. All the team owners feel like the speedways are getting way more money than they deserve, and are more profitable than possibly they should be. I agree with the team owners. As I mentioned a moment ago, I would hate to be in some of these guys' shoes, because you could be in business one day and out the next day. There is so much risk to this business model called NASCAR for a lot of these low-funded race teams.
And you got to wonder if the drivers are going to go, hey, if the owners are making more, can we get back to salaries we had 10 years ago?
Well, yeah, that's a
back
good point.
Back when you made $1 million, whether you were any good or not. Now, it's way different.
One of the biggest things that I think the team owners have got going for them is they all seem to be together as one. They all seem to have banded together, and they realize that if we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish, we're going to have to be as one. We're all going to have to band together and hold NASCAR you know, feet to the fire. And they've got some good leadership. They've got some good negotiators. They've got some sharp businessmen. So, you know, thumbs up to the NASCAR team owners.
It'll all work out. And, you know, collective bargaining, Sean, that's a curse word in a lot of places. But there is power in it. And we'll see if those guys can come to an agreement.
Yeah. Again, where are we headed this weekend?
Heading to Dover for Miles the Monster. And I think, Sean, with all his negative talk, Kyle Busch pulls one out. I don't really think
you
that. I'd like to see it.
I would really like to see Ford end up in victory lane. It's about time for Joey Logano. And I would really like to see Brad Keselowski.
I'd love for Brad to pull one off.
Yeah. So there's definitely some drivers that need a win. Ford Motor Company definitely needs a win.
Yeah.
Just for the future of the brand. But with all that said, we'll be back here again 1 week from today, 6 p.m., right here on Chattanooga's Rock Station, Rock 105, bringing you all the latest news in the world of NASCAR, on and off the racetrack. Of course, we want to thank all of you out there for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. Don't forget, if you've missed any Racing Talk Radio episode, you can go and listen to our past shows at our website, racingtalkradio.com. Or you can find us at your favorite podcast platform. It's usually up by Tuesday morning. You can just go and search Racing Talk Radio Download. That's Racing Talk Radio Download. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and have a great week.
This has been the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Woodfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 105. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.